anyone tell me what this Sunday is? Pentecost Sunday! Someone got it off the bat. Good job. Yes, it's Pentecost Sunday. It's an exciting Sunday to have, right? In some churches, you'll see them start draping everything out in red, right, representing the fire of the Spirit. Other churches will actually do green in the sense of the life and the harvest that was part of the Jewish tradition. And so God blessed me with red thanks to his son, not his living son, but the sun up in the sky when I was taking nature walks this week. So I've got both colors going on with me today to represent Pentecost Sunday. But yes, this is an important Sunday to the church, right? It is a Sunday, really in a way, this is kind of like the birth of the church, right? This is when the Holy Spirit descended and the disciples really started doing the Great Commission. And so, you know, that promised Holy Spirit, they were baptized in that upper room, you know, with the tongues of fire coming on, they were speaking in tongues. And so this was a great moment in the church. It was an awaited moment, right? Because between Passover and Pentecost was 50 days. So imagine being those disciples, you saw Jesus die, raise up, come back to you, and then there's just this time frame in between that you're like, what's next? Well, you got to go to Jerusalem. You got to wait up in this upper room and all those different things. And they were anticipating and waiting for that. And Pentecost was celebrated not because of the church, but actually it was a Jewish holiday, one of the pilgrimage holidays, where it was first celebrated as just the first fruits of the harvest, right? They would all come to Jerusalem and bring their first fruits of the harvest to God, and it was a celebration of the first fruits. And then later on, they brought in the celebration of the law and Torah, right? And Mount Sinai, that whole moment with Moses. That's why that life is also there, because when God's presence, not only was there that thunder and lightning and the clouds and the fire, but there was life given to the mountain at the same time. And so we can see a lot of the parallels, right? Upper room, Mount Sinai, fire, the first fruits, the first fruit of the disciples, and all these different kind of parallels and more and so on and so forth. But to understand Pentecost, to understand the church, to understand everything like that, we need to understand something first, or more like we need to understand who someone is. And that person is the Holy Spirit, right? So who is the Holy Spirit? What can you tell me about the Holy Spirit? Yes, I am polling the audience. Let's see if you can just take care of my sermon this morning and I can just sit down and we'll be out early. All right, let's see if we can get it done. Okay, we got the person of the Godhead. Good, yes, that's right. He is part of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. That is correct. Anything else?
Comforter.
Okay, it is known as the Comforter. Good. That will be part of our sermon. Huh? What else? Yes! A teacher, good, that's awesome. Man, we're almost getting there. I almost don't have to do my sermon. All right, yes.
Spirit of truth.
A spirit of truth, good. It seems like someone read all my notes today. Wonderful. What else? We haven't had all my points yet, so you're still stuck with a sermon here. Yes.
Fire.
Fire, good, yes. We talked about the Holy Ghost and the fire descending upon us. Good. Anyone else? Yes.
Helper.
A helper, yes. That helper, comforter, advocate is another word. And we'll talk about what that word is. Yes, Richard?
Convictor.
Convictor. Oh, you got one of my other sermon points. We got 4 out of 6. We're almost there.
Yeah. Glorify Jesus.
Glorifying Jesus. Yes, that is part of the mission of the Spirit. Good. And you know what? You guys are doing great. I have done this in other either chapels or services. And usually, most people just know he's Godhead, right? The Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. That is it. That is the Spirit. And I'm like, okay, now we got to understand a little bit more. And now you guys have given a great amount of words and other things like that, but maybe not everyone understands what that means to a deeper level. And so we're going to talk about that. Sometimes when I talk to Pentecostals, Charismatics, they usually will sit there and say, I know about tongues, the fire, They'll talk about the gifts of the Spirit. They'll talk about the fruit of the Spirit, those different things. And those are all encompassing and important. But we have to look at who the Holy Spirit is, right? Because we can't just focus on the power of the Spirit, but we got to understand the person of the Spirit. And that's what we're going to talk about. Yes.
The third person of the Trinity.
Right, the third person of the Trinity. Yes,
Sri.
He reveals Jesus, yes. And so these are these things that we're going to see and talk about as we look at who. Because if you have this being, this person of the Godhead living and dwelling among us and in us, wouldn't it also be important to say we need to know, well, what is the Spirit's purpose? What is the Spirit about? Who is the Holy Spirit? Because we sing songs about Christ and what he did, which is very key. I'm never going to take away. That is up there. We talk about the Father, the God, and all that. And we talk about the power of the Spirit. But we got to keep them all on equal, because we'll see how important the Holy Spirit is to us today and each day in our lives. All right? And we can't understand the Spirit without Christ, without the Father. And to dismiss and just think, well, the Spirit is this mysterious thing that we don't understand, is to miss about the Father and the Son as well. And so we're going to, again, be looking at basically six. It could have turned into seven, but I shortened it up because I didn't know on time. I've got about 41 minutes. Yes, I got time. We got about 41 minutes. I'll see if I can't get you guys out early for lunch today, but no promises. As my family will say, you're long-winded, so there's no promises we're getting out on time. So we're going to talk about basically six different kind of descriptions of the third person of the Holy Spirit. So if you can turn with me, we're going to be going to John chapter 14 through 16. No, I am not going to read all those verses. Do not worry about that. That's a lot of verses. But these are the verses and the words found from Jesus. All right. Why not actually understand the Holy Spirit, but the one who requested the Father to send to us? This person, Jesus, tells us who the Spirit is before it actually comes. And so we are going to look at John chapter 14 and go in different verses all the way through chapter 16. The first set is going to be chapter 14, verses 15 through 17 is where we're going to start. All right. And I'll just go ahead and read that portion of scripture. And it says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." All right, so this is our first part of the scripture, the first things that we need to understand. And there's a lot of unpacking to do just in these verses alone. And the first one is understanding that word helper. Now, I have the ESV, and it says helper. Does anyone in verse 16, right? I will ask the Father, and he will give you another. Does anyone else have a different word? Yes.
Counselor.
Comforter.
Advocate.
Helper, right? Those are the four common translations that the English says is, I've got to put a word in there where a Greek word has such a bigger impact, right? One word in Greek takes those four words and does more with it, okay? So the actual word in Greek is basically pronounced paraclete. Has anyone ever heard of the paraclete? That is the Holy Spirit. That is the term used here in Greek from Jesus, the paraclete. All right? And these words, helper, advocate, comforter, counselor, those are great words to try to encapsulate what it's doing. I will usually say I'm going to default to helper, and you'll understand in just a moment. But understanding this idea of paraclete, right? The Greek, it basically, the root of it means to come or to stand alongside, usually with help or aid or things of that nature. And so the paraclete is one who comes alongside to help, right? And so this paraclete is requested from Christ. It is a gift from the Father, okay? Right? Because he's like, hey, I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to talk to my Father. I'm going to ask him, hey, can you give them this paraclete? Right? Because, and he's going to give it to you. He's going to gift it to you. And where does this paraclete and this gift and everything come to? How do you have God basically come alongside you? How do you have this paraclete come alongside you? Well, that is actually in verses 15, right? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's a relational gift. It is not something that you necessarily do to earn, okay? It is not born out of, if you do X, Y, and Z, you'll get the Holy Spirit. Ding, ding, right? That's not what this is about. This idea of, if you love me, Jesus speaking, if you love me, disciples, you'll obey my commandments, that's immediately relational. And that's why he goes, and I will ask. So if you love me, you're going to obey my commandments. That's Jesus. Jesus 101. If you're going to be a disciple and you don't love Jesus or you don't obey his commandments, we need to look at that. All right? So that's discipleship 101. If you love him, you're going to follow God's commandments. And because you do that, and because of the relationship of love, not the, just necessarily the relationship of I have to, right? I always hope my kids do things because they love me, not because they have to. It's usually both, but it's okay. But, you know, and you always hope that act of love, but, you know. But that's the reality, right? We have to sit there and say, okay, we have to have this relational thing. And in this relational thing, because of this relationship with Christ, because of that, that is why Christ is known as the Spirit baptizer in everything of this nature of Christ. We have an opportunity to have this relationship, this one to come alongside us, this paraclete. And what's interesting, right, is that it's another paraclete. It's not just the paraclete. It's another paraclete. Now, scholars are usually going to defer and say, well, that's Jesus. Jesus was the first paraclete. Holy Spirit's the second one. And I say, well, yes. And there's more. Okay? Because if we really go back to Scripture, we find out that, you know what? God walked alongside Adam and Eve. That's your first moment of alongside creation. Right? The paraclete came alongside his creation. Two people. Sadly, what separated us was sin. Right? Sin came in, separated that moment, but it didn't necessarily keep God from being the paraclete. But that's our first moment. What's interesting is that later on, God is going to be described as an Ezer. This word is used 21 times in the Old Testament. It has the same type of meaning, a helper, someone who comes alongside. It's also the same word used for Eve with the creation of Adam and Eve, but used 21 times in the Bible in relation with Israel. God coming alongside, being a helpmate, being the helper. It's an idea. It's not just like, oh, they're God's subordinate and helping Israel. No, this is alongside, and usually it's an idea of becoming a rescuer, a savior, someone to make you stronger, to be strong. And so at the same time, when we see that then coming fold, right, then we hit the New Testament, and that's going to be with Jesus, right? Here's the next paraclete, the literal walking again with creation, right? Jesus came down on earth just as God walked with Adam and Eve. Now we have God in human flesh walking with his creation. But that was limited. It was for a set time period. It's not the yet reality that, you know, we're in the book of Revelation when Pastor gets back and we're going to hit some beautiful scenes. That is what we're waiting for. That is everything we're talking about is a foreshadowing of literally walking with God again in eternity. That is that alongsideness. That is that moment that we're going to have again, that garden that's going to be bigger. And Christ came to give us that chance to reconcile and to walk with God once again. If you love me, you obey my commandments. If you love me, you obey my commandments. If you believe in me, he will remove your sins, right? We're saved through his death and resurrection, and we have this life. And so now the promise of this Holy Spirit to come here to be with us is now the other paraclete, right? Because we can't keep the commandments of Christ without God being able to be alongside us. There's just no way. Do you know why? Because that entire Old Testament proves it, that we cannot do it on our own accord. We could not fulfill the law on our own terms. We had no power, no ability. You and I still fight this thing called the flesh. Foreshadowing to next sermon, right? Hopefully you all come back next week, because this week's about the Holy Spirit. Next week's about living in the Holy Spirit and what that looks like. But, you know, we are sitting here again being redeemed, and the Holy Spirit is here helping and keeping us strong. And the beauty of what also is said in these scriptures and these verses right here is that it's like, it's not just God among us, right? Like right now, where two or three are gathered in his name, Jesus is in our midst. Guess what? That doesn't mean the literal Jesus is sitting here, right? He's not right here. It's my only empty chair I see in this room right now. So, you know, he's not sitting right here. The idea is the Holy Spirit dwells among us. And that idea of dwelling is abiding. That is God saying, I'm taking up residence in your presence. One of the cool things, again, about Revelation and this morphing in the city is you start getting the idea it's really about a people, not a building. When we are called the temple of the Holy Spirit, it is not just me, right? Ethan, I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we'll talk about it in just a second. But it's about us being the temple. We are a presence of God. When we gather together, we are the presence of God. All right? And so, again, he dwells among us, abides among us. The Spirit is among us. And the really cool part now, not only is he among you, but he is in you. Now that's, if you don't get kind of the goosebumps of that idea, think about when God has ever been in a human being. Right, it hasn't happened until this moment where other than God, other than Jesus being the Son of God and the Son of Man and being God and human at the same time, we don't quite have that cool, we're 100% of each moment in our lives, but we have the Holy Spirit in us. Meaning no matter where you go in this world, the Spirit of God not only going to dwell among those who say the name of Jesus, but even in your loneliest moments, you have a God living inside you, dwelling in you at a personal level as well. And we can never forget that. That is something that we are blessed with. We have the creator of the universe, the Spirit that went across the waters in creation is literally dwelling and living not just among us, but in us as well. And that is something we should always remember. And so that is point number one, right? He or it, really the gender of the Spirit is not there in anything. It's an it. But it is, number one, the other paraclete. Think of that term, paraclete, because you're going to see helper, advocate, all that as we keep reading these scriptures. Jesus will always be referring back to that in a way. And the other one, which is point number two, the other thing, which was said here before too, is the Spirit of truth. Okay, this one I'm not going to dwell on as long, but we need to understand it. That translates to the Spirit of Christ, right? Because Jesus just in verse 6 before this said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Spirit of truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Right, so there it is. It's the Spirit of Christ. All right? It means that the same Spirit that was with Christ, empowering Christ, driving Christ, is with those who know and love Jesus. Again, it's relational. And the Spirit aligns with Christ in all things. The Spirit's not going to contradict. We always hear the Spirit's not going to contradict his words. The Spirit is not going to contradict Christ's words, the words of God and all these different things, but is always in line with Christ and Christ's missions, God's mission, the salvific mission that is to come. And so that's point number two. That is the Spirit of truth. All right, now we're going to drop down a few verses. We're going to get another part of the Spirit. Verses 25 and 26 in that same chapter 14. It says, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you,
but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And so that next part, the third part, is being a teacher. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. We said that before as well. And so we have to understand, right? First, Jesus is setting up, hey, I've been teaching you to this point, but my time is done. This is it. These are my last words to you. These are my last teaching moments with you, right? For all those who are seniors and graduating or have been through, you're like, that's it. You don't have to listen to your teachers there anymore. That was their last moments of teaching to you. You're going to college, you get to have more teachers. Yay! But it's like, Jesus is like, hey, listen, you are going to, I'm teaching you now, but I'm about to enter my passion. And so, listen, the first part is the disciples were given remembrance by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit reminded them that, hey, these are the things that Jesus taught, brought it to remembrance. Thankfully, we have this thing called the Gospels. Really thankful for them because that's the recording of that. That was inspired by the Spirit, right? Scriptures are inspired by the Spirit. But the other reality is, it's not just only the disciples, but we also need to be taught continually. It's never an ending moment. As I tell my kids, you will never stop learning in life. Life is a great teacher. It never stops. There's always something to learn. They're always being taught something. And when it comes to being a Christian or living this life, guess what? It never ends. I went to seminary. I have a degree. That's not enough. If that's all I relied on and not the Spirit, that would make me an idiot. I might have a degree that says I'm smart. But as myself, if I ignored the Spirit and the teaching and the guidance of it, that would make me kind of stupid. All right? I don't care what my grade point average is. All right? I just don't need gas prices to be like a grade point average. So we gotta remember we're always being taught. And you see it, the disciples working through Acts and through all the scripture and all the letters, right? I mean, Peter was about to invoke rules on the Gentiles. And Paul had to stand up and be like, whoa, 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 that's not what Christ's intentions are. And even Peter had the dream from the Spirit, like, hey, you can eat whatever you want. And you know what? I praise God for the Holy Spirit because I get to eat bacon thanks to the Holy Spirit. I had bacon this week. I had sausage this week. And I had ham this week. I love pork. I'm a fan of it. So I thank the Holy Spirit for being able to eat pork. Otherwise, the church would have ruined it. But they didn't. All right. So, but that's the thing, right? The Holy Spirit sat there. These men who literally walked 3 years with Christ were about to get it wrong within the first year or so. They're about to impose these laws that weren't in place anymore because Christ taught and said, hey, look, it doesn't matter what you put in your body. It's what comes out of your heart that matters. And yet they're about to say, well, you have to do these things. You almost had to become Jewish to become Christian. You almost had to be a Jew before you could follow Christ. And Christ was like, that's not it. And the Holy Spirit's like, you're missing it. So, you know, it didn't matter if you were Peter. He got it wrong at one point. But because of the Holy Spirit dwelling among them, it changed. And so we look at these things and we see it today. How does the Holy Spirit help us today to understand the work in the world that is not the same as New Testament times? If you didn't realize, this isn't where we live anymore. We're in a very different scenario. And guess what? America lives a little bit differently than I'm sure South Africa or Europe or Brazil or name your place somewhere. Guess what? Massachusetts is a little bit different than California. Or Texas, or Michigan, or wherever you want to go. Every state has got its own culture. All right? And so we understand that we have to learn how to live, and the Holy Spirit guides and teaches us. That Spirit of truth is always teaching us today, but it's always in that relationship. We know how to identify false prophets. We know how to teach. We know how to escape these deceptions if we have that relationship with the Spirit and the Spirit is active in our lives. All right. So that's it. Number three is the teacher. All right. We need the Spirit because the Spirit is sent to teach us. The next one is going to be found in chapter 15, verses 26 through 27. All right. And this one's going to be about bearing witness about Christ. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Seems really simple. The Holy Spirit is bearing witness. And the disciples, since they were there from the beginning, also bear witness to this person named Jesus Christ, right? And you're like, oh, that makes sense. Except what I didn't do is read all the verses before. Those aren't the most encouraging verses to read if you're a Christian, especially the disciple. Those were not the words of encouragement, but yet it was. Jesus says, hey, just to let you know, you follow me, the world's going to hate you. Oh, lovely. Thank you. Oh, just to let you know, you're not going to be treated better than the master. You're probably actually going to get treated worse than the master. So welcome to persecution. Because they persecuted me, you're going to get it worse. Oh, lovely. Thank you so much, Jesus. Thanks for telling us this. And all these things, right? So Jesus is like, listen, following me in this world is going to hate you. If you're following me and preaching me and truly living me, this world really will not mix with you. The world hates me. Right? You can't serve God and possessions. You can't serve... You know, that's why in 1 John it's so important to understand. You can either love God or you can love this world, but you cannot have both. I mean, God always loves us. But if the world really loves you, I mean, really loves you, or it doesn't seem like, you know, any of your words that are teachings of Christ doesn't seem to rub wrong a little bit, or you don't sit there and figure out how does this world go in this world, you may need to do a self-examination. Because the reality is the world's going to hate you in the end. America, we're really protected. In the end, we may say we got persecution, but you know what? I'm not in an imprisonment camp in North Korea right now. Or in China. Or in Iran. I'm not in these countries that I'm going to be killed, per se, for my faith. Just because I believe. We're not sitting in an underground church right now. But the reality is, and what Jesus is saying here is, no matter what you're going through, know that you're bearing witness. If you are being persecuted because of your faith, if you're being persecuted because you are bearing witness to Christ in your words, in your actions, in your deeds, if you are doing those things, do not worry. You're not saying those things alone. You're in alignment with the Spirit, and don't ever give that up. Because the Spirit, the Helper, the Advocate, the one that comes alongside you is right with you speaking those same things. And so if you're being persecuted, if you're being judged, or you're being hated because you are a Christian, don't give up. Because the Holy Spirit is doing the exact same thing you're saying. Christ is the way. There is a better way. And we need to keep that voice going. Don't give up. And so again, the Spirit bears witness about Christ. The final two are going to be found in chapter 16, kind of verse, they call it kind of 4b, because in my Bible I got that lovely little title that splits it in half, verse 4. So it's the second half of 4b through verse 15, and it reads, I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I am with you, but now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Or if I don't go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of the world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. I could have done this in three things, but we're only going to focus on two real things, as the other one's kind of a summary. The first thing is that the Holy Spirit is an advantage over having Christ on earth right now. That's a big pill to swallow, especially for these 11 at this point. Like, what do you mean, Jesus? Like, no, I really like having you right by me, Jesus. Like, you've been doing some really cool things, right? Like, you've walked on water, you raised this guy from the dead, you fed, like, thousands of people with, like, nothing, right? Like, he could take all those communion cups and make them better anyways. But serve, you know, a whole lot of people with him. You know, he did all these amazing things, and he's like, it's to your advantage. You don't want me here. It's better for me to leave right now, not only because, you know, if he didn't die and do all that stuff, we would kind of be not here kind of doing these things. But, you know, A, it's to your advantage. Why? Because this paraclete, this Holy Spirit will help you beyond what you have. You have no idea how big your mission is, disciples. Could you imagine? Back in that day, they just knew the world kind of in the Med, right? That whole kind of region, maybe a little bit more east. But really, the Mediterranean is where they sat. Europe really didn't exist too much. Maybe, you know, it is Roman times, so things were a little expanded, but that's still very finite when you look at the world. There are 7 billion people on this planet. There's estimated, or those who claim, I'll say it that way, about 2.3 billion Christians. If you needed Jesus to be everywhere right now to save this world, and he was a finite, so let's say he's sitting in South Africa, where is he not, right? If he's sitting out I guess right now Pastor's in Oregon, right, Pastor? I don't know. Somewhere west of us. One or two states. So if he's sitting in Oregon and ministering to Pastor Eric and Tammy, that'd be wonderful, which he is, but in a different way. But if he's physically there, then he wouldn't be physically anywhere else, right? If he's sitting in Hyannis and in his church right now in this lovely chair sitting right beside me, of course, if he was here, I would not be up here. And, you know, if he was here, then he's not anywhere else. He's not in the churches locally that are worshiping at the same time as us. That is to our disadvantage. But the Holy Spirit can be with us wherever we are. Mountain high, valley low. Praising him here or praising him in a jail cell. The Holy Spirit, that power, that moment, those things that the Holy Spirit provides to us, those times, he is there everywhere, bringing Jesus to us. Because that is part of God's salvific plan. Jesus had to leave. He had to die for that salvific perfect purpose, but the Spirit also had to come for even a greater mission that was to come. You know, Jesus' ministry was just the launch point to something grander. And he knew that. That's why when people say, if only Jesus was here, I probably wouldn't do that. That's what the Holy Spirit's about. He is your, that is Jesus with you. Remember, I told you that it dwells among us and in us. To say, if only Jesus was here, I wouldn't do this. If Jesus was here, I would. Jesus is here. If you follow him, he is here within his people. And so the Holy Spirit is to our advantage. Embrace the Holy Spirit. Have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. If you're like, man, if I could walk with Jesus those 3 years and then walk with the Holy Spirit for the rest of your life. Some of us may be rounding third base. I probably somewhere just between first and second, rounding second soon. Right? Not quite home. wherever you are in your journey, stop saying, I wish, or, man, if I lived in those biblical days and followed Jesus. No, it's better now. It's better now. Let alone, you probably wouldn't have believed in Jesus back then. Not many people did. It's better now because the Holy Spirit is to our advantage. So embrace that. Know that. And the other thing, ultimately, this paraclete does, and it was said before, is to convict. And that's going to be our real main last point to focus on here. The sixth thing is the paraclete is here to convict, not condemn, which is a status, right? We're all condemned because of our sin. And then we're convicted, and then we're redeemed, and we're now in a redemption status. But he's here to. It is here to convict. The paraclete is here to convict. The first conviction is with the world of sin. That is not our job, that is the Spirit's job. And it's the work of the Spirit that goes out and prepares the heart of those who hear our witness to turn to Christ. And the sin is not necessarily some specific sin, idol worship, sexual immorality, murder, Ten Commandments, something broken, and four, those are sin. Don't get me wrong, that's bad. Okay. But what is the sin there? What's verse 9 say? Because what?
They don't believe
in. They don't believe in Christ. The sin of the world is they don't believe in Christ. There you go. What's the unforgivable sin? You don't believe in Christ. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. That is what it is. If Christ isn't real or if Christ isn't your Savior, that is unforgivable. Cut and dry. That's the sin. That is what the Spirit is here to say, is if you're going to be redeemed, if you are going to spend eternity, if you are going to let God walk among you, then you better believe in Christ. Always pointing to Christ. All the other things, those other sins that we talk about, is a symptom of not believing or loving Christ. Let me boil it down to you real quick. That's what it is. It's that simple. That's what sin is today. You don't believe in Christ. And so that is what the Holy Spirit is convicting. When you read, if you go to Pentecost Sunday, first edition, aka Acts chapter 2, read Peter's sermon and see how he convicts through the Holy Spirit saying, hey, you rejected Christ. Sinners. Didn't talk about certain sins. I'm sure the Holy Spirit could have revealed every sin of every single person in there. The real sin was you just didn't believe in Christ. You rejected Christ. But guess what? There's redemption. That's the other part of it. And so that is the first thing. That is one conviction. The next conviction, now this is turning to us, is concerning righteousness, right? Because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer, meaning I am not here to hold you accountable. Jesus held Peter accountable at times. Get behind me, Satan. Woo, that's encouraging. Wow, Jesus called me Satan today. You don't write home to mom about that one, okay? All right. But that's what it does. It helps us to become holier. We are meant to be holy. If we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, then we probably should be working on holiness. There we go. And that's what we're going to talk about next week. Preview. All right. So holiness, this conviction of righteousness. Because we've been convicted of not believing, now we need to work on our flesh and working through this and becoming righteous, sanctified, holy, perfection, whatever you want to call it, word, it all fits. Because that is what the Spirit now does with those who follow Christ. If you believe in him, now the Holy Spirit is working in you. Now we're going to start making sure your witness, you're bearing witness in every aspect of your life. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. It convicts us. Conviction is not wrong. I know Pastor talked about the guilt and all that. That's conviction. But we're not condemned. And last one, he convicts concerning judgment. And who is judged? Satan, the ruler of this world. That's who's getting judged. Now, it is the presence of the Holy Spirit on this earth, in our lives, in the church, in this world, that reminds Satan he has lost and his judgment is to come. Praise God. That ruler is no longer ruler. Yeah, still has some power. Yeah, still does some things. Yeah, they have influence. But our continual life and living reminds Satan, you lost. See this? This is a redeemed people. They're not yours anymore. You don't get to drag them to the eternal fire with you. Because now they have a choice. They have a chance of redemption. And so we get to have that moment that he is always reminded he is lost and judgment's coming. Because God desires that none should perish. That is, you know, when God says don't judge one another, this is part of it. Judging is the condemnation part. Holding people accountable is different. Condemnation is judgment. The Holy Spirit is only judging one person right now. And that is the ruler of this world. Why? Because when you go to Revelation, when you understand all these different things, we're at war. And because hell, eternal fire, or hell, the beast, the dragon, and death are all thrown into eternal fire. So hell's not the really bad place. It's a bad place. But eternal fire is where hell goes. And that's the judgment that is to come. Right? And God desires that none should perish. And that is why the Spirit convicts the world. That is why we are convicted to stay righteous, because we are witnesses to Christ. But in the end, he's convicting in the judgment of Satan. And sadly, those who reject Christ will join him. But that's why we are here on this earth, because we have a mission. And so to be in this mission, to do these very things that Christ is telling us to do, to bear witness, to do these things, to love, and all those things is for that very purpose, is so that others will join the church, that others can experience that relationship with God, knowing that God is with them no matter what they go through, and that there's this person of the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, that will come alongside you, thick and thin, will always be with you, the presence of God dwelling among us and in us. And so that's where conviction lies. That is where the Spirit works to convict. The other thing is that verse 13 to 15 kind of summarizes everything we have, the teaching, the authority, like being sent, always pointing and agreeing with God in all those verses. But there's still good things to read about, even talking about the future, prophetic type things, saying the Spirit knows what is coming. So listen to the Spirit. If you feel lost, listen to the Spirit. Because the Spirit is so important to us today as Christians. Yes, the Spirit gives us, the disciples and us, power. Yes, the Spirit caused them and can cause us to speak in tongues, and it's a great thing. And yes, the Spirit gives gifts to the church and everything. But to only seek these powers is to miss or cheapen who the Spirit is. To understand him only to the depths of being part of the Godhead is also missing the importance to the Spirit in our lives today. Again, those six things, right? The Spirit is our Paraclete, God among us, alongside of us. The Spirit of truth, the same Spirit of Jesus, is with us today. Our teacher, the Spirit will guide and lead us in even this day. But again, you must love and submit to Christ. He bears witness to Christ. Even when the world rejects and persecutes you, remember the Spirit is with you in the hardest of times. The Holy Spirit is to our advantage. Everyone who loves and obeys Christ has access to the Spirit throughout this world. And the Holy Spirit convicts this world, our righteousness, and the ruler of this world. And so, if we seek and we want God's power to pour out on the Cape and Hyannis and the Cape, Massachusetts, and to the ends of this world, we need to learn to align ourselves with the mission of the Spirit. We need to know who the Holy Spirit is, because why would God give us our power if we don't have a relationship with the very Spirit that drives his church? It starts here. It starts with understanding the Spirit and the relationship we have with the Spirit. And that is what I have for you today. Next week, because I get to do back-to-back, we're going to talk about what it means to live a Spirit-filled life. And you've had a little bit of the foreshadowing. But that's what we're going to talk about next week. And that's going to be in Romans 8. So if you want to read like 6 through 8, that will help you. Kind of get some of the background, and that way you're ready. But I want to go ahead, and I will close in prayer here in just a moment. But I also want to say the reality is the Spirit is a convictor. I want to ask first if, I don't know everybody in this room. Is there anyone here who says, I haven't accepted Christ? Who feels the Holy Spirit leading you to doing that? Okay. If you're online, we'll definitely pray for you. Please, I would even reach out and see a way that for someone to contact you. If that was you online, I don't know who's watching. Let me ask this question about righteousness. Are any of you struggling? This isn't the time to hide. There is power in confession. There's power in those moments. Is there anyone here who says, I'm struggling with sin? The Spirit is working in me. Listen, no one's perfect in this room. We all struggle with certain things. But if you are truly fighting that battle and the Spirit even today is convicting you, saying, I need righteousness. I know I'm going to talk about holy living next week. I don't want to wait till next week, because right now we're only promised this moment. But is anyone here struggling with that? Great. Again, if you're online, I'll close out that prayer with a prayer. Lord, we come to celebrate you this day. We come to celebrate what this day means to us as a church, what it meant almost those 2,000 years ago. We thank you for what your Son did do on the cross. We thank you for the redemption and the reconciliation we have with you. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you for being in our lives. Help us to live these things. Be our paraclete in our everyday life. Remind us that you are with us. Remind us that you are the Spirit of truth, that you are the same Spirit that guided Christ in his mission, empowered him, is the same Spirit that's within us, that you dwell among us, that you're in us. Help us. Help us to do your mission. It's not our will, but your will to be done. And so help us do that mission. Teach us, Lord. These days are confusing. There's lots of different messages of what truth is. But Lord, we know that you are the truth. And so Holy Spirit, teach us and guide us and show us what we need to understand today in this culture. Yes, it might mean the world may hate us. But Lord, may we always keep our convictions with you. May we always stay righteous with you. May our words always align with you, Spirit, always bearing witness to the Lord our God. And may we always remember you are our advantage, Holy Spirit. Even now, Lord, I ask that your Spirit dwell here and fill each person right now. May your Spirit give that fresh anointing upon each person, knowing that you are to our advantage. To those who may be listening in another state, another country, another hemisphere of this world, Lord, we ask that your Spirit pour out on the church and on every member, Lord, even as we pray this. May every member of the churches in Hyannis and Cape Cod in Massachusetts, everybody on this day experience your Spirit pouring out upon them. Because you are our advantage. that in this moment, in this day, in these times, Lord, we are unified together through you and your Spirit. That those who are being persecuted right now, our brothers and sisters who may be being persecuted for your faith, Lord, we ask that you come along and encourage them. Be with them. And give them the provisions they need spiritually, emotionally, and physically. For those who may need healing, whether in the sound of my voice or they have someone on their hearts that needs healing, Lord, we ask for your Spirit to touch them right now. For even Jesus could heal from a distance by the faith of a woman who wasn't even a part of the Jewish faith. And so, Lord, we ask that you touch those who need healing this day. And Lord, Holy Spirit, convict. Convict the world so that when we go into our workplaces, when we go into this world and we meet with those who don't know you, may our lives be a living testimony, but may it also convict those to say, I need something more. I need Christ because I see something different and it's something I crave. For we all crave it. We just don't always realize it. So Holy Spirit, go before us to convict this world. But also go within us and convict us of those moments where we fall short of your glory, where sin has taken hold in our hearts, or the temptations that come. Forgive us of our sins. Help us forgive others who have hurt us. But restore us and keep us holy each and every day. And so we thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you and ask you to be with us as we leave this morning. In Jesus' name we pray.